Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. We have a lot to share, and I'm going to ask you to call in at different points in the program and address many of the issues. The issues will be looking, do you believe that Anthony Fauci, based upon what you have read, not just your opinion, what research you've done, and we have a lot of citizen journalists, keep sending us that material to prnstudio@gmail.com. Because we'll be using some of the citizen journalists. I want to promote citizen journalists, and especially those who can do their homework and know quality resources versus non-quality resources. But we're going to hear from Dr. Jansi Chun Lindsay. She is a top toxicologist, graduate from MD Anderson down in Texas, and she has some comments to make that I haven't heard anyone else make, and I want you to hear them. Mind you, she's a mainstream, board-certified in her field. She has published in peer-reviewed literature, and she's pro-vaccine, so we'll hear what she has to say. Also, Ben Swan, Fauci lied to Congress, according to him, about gain-of-function research. Well, let's see, what is he covering up? And Dr. Jessica Rose did a presentation which quite simply is the most methodical, accurate, and sensible ever on the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And it's about 40 minutes long. However, right in the middle of the beginning, there's a three-minute segment where she tells you something that no one else, yet maybe they will, but not as of today, about what's happening when people who are young take the vaccine. Wow. Wait till you see the chart. Now, mind you, you can watch any of the videos. You go to prn.fm, scroll down, and you'll see where you can go right on there and watch in real time. So look at the chart. Her research is methodical. No one has explained the adverse effects and deaths as accurately as she is. So we're going to deal with those. Plus, I'm going to be giving you the latest information that will help you on medications that are FDA approved, that anyone can use, as long as your doctor can get them. And there's even doctors that will help you get them if you don't have a regular doctor. But the most comprehensive list, now mind you, this list is methodical. It gives you the medication. It gives you the percentage of improvement. It gives you the number of studies, how many authors, scientists authored the studies, and how many patients were used. For example, with ivermectin, there's a 72% average, as high as 79%, where it stops COVID and saves a person from going further. There was 56 studies, 469 separate scientists, and using 18,447. So you want to know which medications are safe and effective? This is the list. All right? It's there. And, of course, it has to be updated because there are even some more coming out now and have been since this list. But at least, and I've been giving you this list all year. I've been talking about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and with azithromycin and zinc, and how it helped. And all the naysayers says, no, no, no. Well, we were right. Yes, yes, yes. They were all wrong. Why aren't they held accountable for being wrong, like the New York Times? Oh, I forgot. They gave us... they were absolutely right when they said weapons of mass destruction and we should justify the engagement in regime change in Iraq. That worked, didn't it? They found all those weapons. No, they found nothing except we created chaos. Well, they've created chaos now and they should be held accountable in a court of law for crimes against humanity. But I believe that's also true of Wikipedia, of Facebook, of Google, of Twitter, of all the other outlets that are funded by George Soros and Bill Gates. Remember, it comes down to who you listen to and what you choose to believe, and believe nothing and don't listen to anyone until you first have determined you're going to do some independent research yourself. That said, today, I got a lot of positive response yesterday from the commentary that I did. So if time permits, I will go to part two of that commentary. And I want to thank Off Guardian. They did really good work. This originally appeared in Off Guardian and by C.J. Hopkins And I last night wrote my own commentary on this very same topic, and so I will deal with that, and then you'll have a chance to share your points of view. That's our program today. Let's get right to the latest on health and healing. And our talkback number, by the way, is 888-874-4888. Again, you can call in and just be put on hold once you have something you want to say. From the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil comes a study about vegan and omnivore diets. Guess what? Those who eat meat and those who eat vegetables, like myself, we end up promoting equivalent muscle mass gain. Yeah. You know what I did? And it has nothing to do with narcissism, by the way. But I wanted, early in life, I wanted to see how I aged. Because one day, it was a Sunday, and I was where we all went to my great uncle's home, and they had dinner, and those of us who were young ate in the kitchen. I'm sure you experienced this on the little table. Little people in there, the big people at the main table. And after that, they all played canasta, and they were smoking. Of course, everybody smoked then. And I just looked at them. Now, some of them were in their 40s, and they were all out of shape. Loving people, good people, but eating a diet that was unhealthy, not exercising, social drinking, and smoking. Didn't take any vitamins. And so I didn't have the knowledge at all. I was as illiterate as anyone could be when it came to the sophistication of where we live in or anything about health. But I did have a fair measure of common sense and intuition. So when I went back, when I was in college, my first college was Mountain State Business College because I wanted a business background, an economic background, an accounting background, because none of my friends going to college had any of that. And I thought, what happens in life if their career goes sideways and they don't know what to do after that because it was a one-shot deal? They put everything into one effort, and now it's gone. Well, that later happened, but not for about 30 years. And fortunately, I was able to do other things because of that background. But in any case, I went back. And this was about 5 years later. I'd been living there the whole time, but I remember that was one of the last times we had that dinner. And I looked at everyone, and I thought, wow, no one's getting younger. They're all getting really old. And so I vowed that from that time on, I'm going to take a picture of myself every 5 years. And if I don't look as good in 5 years as I do now, then I'm doing something wrong. Of course, I didn't know about aging and biochemistry and telomeres. I knew nothing. But I started with my first picture. I got some white shorts on. I was a bodybuilder. I'd gone up in weight and gone up in height. And every 5 years, I've kept that photographs going. I got some recent photographs taken the last 3 months. And you take a look, and you'll see that at times in my life, I'm really chiseled. And I was told that can't happen unless you eat meat. Repeatedly, all the health magazines, you got to eat your meat, you got to have the animal proteins. And yet now we have a Mr. World, a Mr. Universe. Arnold Schwarzenegger is also now vegan and spreading the word, which is good. And so now we have some real solid proof. So you do not have to eat any animal proteins to maintain or gain muscle mass. You can do it by just paying attention to a healthy plant-based diet and having combinations of nut butters and all, like walnut butter, almond butter, pecan butter, macadamia nut butter, cashew butter, filbert butter. Those are all rich in proteins. And then the combinations of your whole grains like amaranth and quinoa and one of the tastiest of all is millet. It's called the poor man's protein in Africa. And then for the seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, all rich in protein. Beans, really rich. And by the way, a lot of people don't know how to read the side of a can. If you go into a store and you think, well, I need about 50 grams protein today. And you pick up a can of beans, you say, but that only has 8 grams protein. No. Look what it says. 3 servings. All right? So it's 24 grams of protein if you ate the whole can. And a whole can is just a bowl. And a bowl is fine. I had a bowl of beans last night with some quinoa and some millet. And then I seared some tempeh, and with the tempeh I brushed on some miso. I made some miso with blended up some lemon and tangerine juice from fresh made, shaved some lemon, and then took the tangerines and put them in, blended it all up, put in some olive oil, and then mixed that with a teaspoon of miso. And that was my base, and I basted the tofu, and then I put that on top, and then I drizzled a combination of walnut oil, extra virgin olive oil, and grapeseed oil, and that was a meal for me. And I'm fine. I'm keeping my weight, my muscle mass, and so I want you to be able to do the same thing. I want you to be able to realize that almost everything you've been told from the Orthodox point of view about your weight and maintaining your health has been in error. And this whole meat thing is a big error. So this is from the university. So protein intake is more important than protein source if the goal is to gain muscle strength and mass. And this is the key finding of a study that compared the effects of strength training in volunteers with a vegan or omnivorous diet, both with protein content considered adequate. And so you can get your muscle mass up there within 12 weeks. That's what this program was. By consuming a healthy plant-based diet. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Sports Medicine. All right, next up, if you want children with ADD and ADHD to better focus, yoga and breathing exercises aid children. This is from Ural Federal University. We all know that yoga is a wonderful exercise. You don't have to have it hot. That was just a gimmick, you know, marketing gimmick by the guy who created it. He was smart enough to get a lot of people who didn't do a lot of research or homework to realize you don't have to have a room. How hot is it? Only 300 degrees. It should be hotter. And people passing out. No, what a guy. Wow. Took a lot of people. But just normal breathing in yoga, or just yoga breathing, or just mindful meditation breathing, deep diaphragmatic, where you're concentrating on your breathing, that has a positive effect on children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So that's what they did. It decreases hyperactivity. They do not get tired as they used to in the same way. They can engage in complex activities for longer. That's the conclusion reached by psychologists at Ural Federal University. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Biological Psychiatry. Also, study findings suggest vitamin D deficiency, when you don't have enough, is associated with reduced arterial elasticity. And this is from Medical University in China. So you want to make sure that you've got adequate vitamin D to have healthier, more pliable and flexible arteries. Also from Kobe University and Chiba University Institute of Technology in Japan, they found that icing muscle injuries can delay recovery. Well, a lot of people thought it would improve it. A study using a mouse model of eccentric contraction has revealed that icing injured muscles delays muscle regeneration. And so that's important to know that. This was published in the Journal of Applied Physiology. The main point is that applying an ice pack to a severe muscle injury resulting from what is known as eccentric contraction may prolong the time it takes to heal. I'll tell you what does cause it to heal faster. Light therapy. Oh, yeah. I've seen some phenomenal results with light therapy. You have to understand just how the body responds when there's a regeneration process. Inflammatory cells gather at the site of the injury and remove the debris from the damaged muscle and then begin to build new muscle. However, the results revealed that it's harder for inflammatory cells to enter the injured muscle cells if ice is applied. Now, there's a particular cell called macro, M-A-C-R-O, phage, P-H-A-G-E-S, macrophage. And these macrophages are typical of the inflammatory cells that enter the injured muscle. These consist of pro-inflammatory macrophages, which phagocyte damage tissue, thus causing inflammation, and anti-inflammatory macrophages, which suppress inflammatory reaction and promote repair. It's thought that the pro-inflammatory macrophages change their characteristics, becoming anti-inflammatory. And that's how we heal. By the way, if you didn't have any inflammation, how would your body know that there is damage? So you got pro and anti-inflammatories going on simultaneously. But lay off the ice, all right? Imperial College London, take a look at probiotics. And they found if you're taking the probiotics, you have fewer respiratory symptoms in overweight and older people. Did you ever notice overweight people gasping for breath a lot? Well, you've got to clean up the gut if you want to help with respiration. And this is important. So let's get more probiotics into our system every day. And that also helps our immune system, helps digestion, and it helps respiration. And finally, University of Warwick, which is in the United Kingdom, they discovered that fruit could provide new treatments for obesity and type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. A combination of two compounds found in red grapes and oranges could be used to improve the health of people with diabetes and reduce cases of obesity and heart disease. The find has been made by University of Warwick researchers who now hope their discovery will be developed to provide a treatment for patients. I disagree with them. I agree with their findings. Good for them. I commend them. I disagree because almost everybody working in a university, not everybody, but a lot, then start looking at, well, we can't patent and profit from a natural discovery. Let's add something to it and make it patentable. No, let's do it the very simple way. Occam's theory. Use the razor, cut through the fat. Let's eat more oranges and eat more red grapes. Okay, if you can't eat the grapes, and then drink organic grape juice. If you don't have organic grape juice, then organic concentrate. And that lasts a long time. But let's have more oranges. And by the way, one way to make an interesting dish is to shave organic oranges, wash the cover very thoroughly, and then put the orange shavings from the peel, not the whole peel, but the orange shavings, and blend that into a brown rice dish, and then put allspice in with anise seeds and olive oil. It gives you a very exotic rice. I just did that yesterday afternoon. I experiment all the time in my kitchen. I'm always making new dishes, always working towards another cookbook. So let's use more grapes and use more oranges. This was published in the journal Diabetes. And that is the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. And, oh, by the way, from Lishu People's Hospital in China, vitamin D supplementation is associated with less time spent in the ICU among critically ill patients. Hello. For all of you who were trying to get vitamin D into the hospital, you were doing the right thing. I wouldn't say vitamin D by itself. I would say intravenous vitamin C if you're in a hospital, because a lot of times they will not allow outside protocols in hospitals. But I would hope that they would, you know, I'm not saying this is for the ICU, it's just for COVID. I'm talking about all their conditions, but you should always have an emergency kit with you. So if you have to go into ICU and you've given it to them at the beginning and explained to your doctor, even providing some peer-reviewed literature of why you should be using it, then a person might be more open and flexible and allow you to use that, providing it doesn't contraindicate any of the therapies they're giving you. We are 19 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to hear from one of the videos. And again, you can watch it. And I'm going to go two videos back to back. The first video is Dr. Jessica Rose, and her whole 40 minutes is up on PRN.fm. And it's only this three-minute segment. And listen to what she's saying, because this is important, and this should be used by attorneys and activists in this audience. So I'm giving you raw material, good material, scientific material that can be used in a court of law. And then we're going to go to Dr. Jancy Lindsay, what she has to say about toxicology and the vaccines.
And here's one of the moments when I'm going to stress that this is most likely at one or two orders of magnitude less than the actual adverse event number. And as I mentioned before, the plot on the left here is normalized to the U.S. population. So just to repeat, it's not only due to population growth that we're seeing this increase. So what about severe adverse events? Because, I mean, sure, the absolute number of adverse events is increasing, but if they're all mild, if this is just chills and headaches, then it's not really reason to be alarmed. However, the VAERS handbook states that approximately 15% of reported AEs are typically severe adverse events. And we're at 19% now, as of Friday, last Friday. And it peaked at 57%, which is really, really high. So we've been consistently above the standard the entire time. And we remain above the standard. So the VAERS data at the moment does not look the same as last year at all. It doesn't look the same as any year. And a lot of people have been asking, well, naturally that's because we have more vaccines being given. And yes, that's true. However, this is more about the proportion of adverse events as per the fully vaccinated population being much higher. So what else is standing out? So I grouped the adverse event data according to whether or not the individual died, required hospitalization, required an emergency doctor visit, or whether the adverse event was related to a cardiovascular problem, a neurological problem, or an immunological problem. I really needed to see what was going on in these particular divisions because I had a hunch that I was going to see something special in the immunological group. So again, on the left here, I have a time series plot of the absolute number of VAERS IDs for each of these groups, and everything seems copacetic until early March, and then everything... all the trajectories start to increase, some more slowly than others, such as death. It is increasing slowly, but it is increasing, the count. It's approximately 350 to 500 people per week. And what stands out here is the immunological adverse event trajectory. I mean, it really is a standalone adverse event group here, and we can hypothesize at the moment as to what we're seeing here and why we're seeing this for now, but I'll save that until the next slide.
The gene therapy vaccines are not the only alternative, and they're certainly not more effective than other treatments that are out there. And I think that's wholly been ignored. There are other treatments for both prophylaxis and treatment of the infection that are very effective and they're safe and they've been out there a long time. So I want to get that out there first. My concerns center around the impaired fertility and impaired reproductive or maintenance of pregnancy that I believe could occur if you have a cross reaction of the antibodies that are made to spike protein to proteins called the syncytins, which are ancient retroviral proteins, fusion proteins that are present in sperm and ova and placenta, and in a lot of other tissues as well. They're also implicated to play a role in lupus and some other autoimmune disease, bipolar schizophrenia. And they are in breast cancer, syncytins are expressed when you have breast cancer. So these proteins play a role in a lot of places. And if you should accidentally create an antibody response to them, then it could have dire consequences. Now, we don't know if that's happening for sure, but there's a very easy way to test it. And as far as I can see, it hasn't been done, and there's no logical reason for that. So that's my first concern. Of course, I think the blood clotting concern is probably more important, as if you die from a coagulopathy, then the fertility doesn't really matter. So coagulopathies, what are those? Those are diseases or conditions that are caused by blood clots, pulmonary emboli, strokes, heart attack, deep vein thrombosis, and clotting disorders, thrombocytopenias, low platelet, things like that. And we are seeing a lot of those with all of the types of vaccines, all the manufacturers. And this is not a surprise. We had some experiments that took place before the vaccines were rolled out that showed that if you infuse the spike protein, purified spike protein, into mice that had a humanized, were transfected with humanized ACE2 platelets, then they would get thrombosis. So that was, I believe it was November of 2020 when Zhang et al. Did those experiments. And they were doing those experiments to try to get at why we were seeing thrombocytic events from COVID-19. So it was kind of a proof in the pudding experiment. They did several experiments, and that was one of the last ones that they did to see if it was the spike protein that was causing some of the coagulopathies in the COVID-19 infection. But there's a distinct difference here. I believe that the way that our body glycosylates the spike protein and the directions, the recipe that's given within the genetic material that directs our body to make the spike protein is different than the natural spike protein. I don't believe it's the same. And I think that's why we're seeing more aggravated conditions with these vaccines, gene therapy vaccines, than with the natural condition. And then the third thing is that it's a leaky vaccine. What does leaky vaccine mean? That means that the vaccine does not effectively stop the contraction nor the transmission of the virus. So when you have leaky vaccines, what happens is that you contract the virus, but your body's been directed to kill a virus with a certain sequence that it's been immunized to. So the virus gets smart and says, well, I'm just going to switch my sequence around a little bit. That way the immune system won't see me and I can go on and infect somebody else as well. So that's the worry with leaky vaccines, is that you're kind of a human gaining of function laboratory if you contract the virus, because the virus wants to escape. It's called immune escape, and go infect somebody else. So it will vary its sequence and become one of these variants that we see.
Human beings become sort of a petri dish at that point, like you say.
Yes, well, human beings become the gain of function labs themselves.
Sam, did you have a thought on that?
Yeah, certainly that was what really stuck out to me the most when I read your testimony was the fact that they are leaky vaccines. As far as I understand, not a single vaccine confers true immunity, the mRNA or the viral vector vaccines. They're all simply
Lessening symptoms,
exactly.
Which means they're a therapy, they're not a vaccine.
That's right, yeah. And it can be plausibly assumed that given past experiences with leaky vaccines, that this could have disastrous consequences of because you reverse the evolutionary pressure on viruses, you now allow more virulent strains of viruses to live within people without killing them. And so you allow those viruses to spread where extremely virulent viruses normally kill the person very quickly so that they don't have a chance to spread. And so
you're exactly correct. Yes.
Could it be that people who are vaccinated could actually become more dangerous to society than people who are not?
Yes, it can. It could mean that.
High outstanding crit background and science published in peer-reviewed literature who are challenging the orthodoxy. Here's a question. Why are they not allowed a forum to debate pro-vaccine establishment people so we, the public, could see the merits or demerits of a particular argument? But they're not. So we will continue to provide a forum for their statements. And by the way, what the chart was showing is that when the young people were shown to start getting in March the vaccine, it skyrocketed, the adverse side effects, including deaths. And it'll be interesting because at the trajectory, it will show that more young people are dying from the vaccine than from COVID. Will anyone stop to examine that? And what about the 130 million Americans who suffer from autoimmune conditions where their doctor would normally question whether or not a vaccine would be appropriate? Because many people who have severe autoimmune conditions, given a spike protein manufacturing machine, and that's what it does, it never stops manufacturing spike proteins. The assumption being, did you actually test people based upon autoimmune conditions? For example, did you have cancer patients, arthritis patients, rheumatoid patients, fibromyalgia patients? Did you test patients who have multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's? The answer is no. None of that was done. How about pregnant women? No. How about children? No. But now you're demanding everybody get a vaccine in spite of the fact that at least 130 million Americans have physiological conditions that would allow them to justify, even if they're pro-vaccine, not to have that vaccine at this time until their conditions improve or change. So this is not about the simplistic, moronic argument of pro-vaccine versus anti-vaccine. This is about understanding the body. And they clearly are not interested in that. And that brings me to this, and I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view on this. I look at this as I've looked at all the major scandals that I've covered in my career. I remember being given a tip. The person who gave me the tip was a very outstanding reporter, award-winning reporter. He was named Pat McGrady Jr. He was the Moscow bureau chief for Newsweek. He came to my apartment, and he said that I'd like you to interview my father, Pat McGrady Sr. He, for 25 years, has been the top public relations person and spokesperson for the American Cancer Society. He has a lot to say, and he wants to say it. I said, okay. I met with him, and it was a Saturday, and I just finished my four-hour radio program, WMCA, and for the next 4 hours, it was nonstop giving me documentation. Boy, did it change my view of the American Cancer Society, which up to that point I fully supported. And then he gave me documents, and so I went to what I would normally expect someone to be interested in, Harper's, Atlantic Monthly, the East Village Other, the Village Voice, Mother Jones, Us Mag. I went to every liberal magazine in the United States. Nobody would touch it. They didn't dispute the information in the article. They just said how costly it would be to do it. And one of the people who was a managing editor was actually a niece of one of the doctors I was writing about in a favorable way. She says, I love my uncle. He's a genius. He's helped save people's lives. But I know that we would get slammed. And so finally, there was one person who decided he would publish it. His name was Ed Towns, and it was a newspaper on the east side of Manhattan. And Robert Houston, one of America's finest investigative journalists, and I researched and wrote, took about a year and a half, and it was a front-page story. We won the Audie Award for Best Investigative Journaling. And then a person contacted me and said, I'd like you to meet a publisher who may have the courage to do what no other publisher is willing to do. Nobody wants to take on the cancer establishment. Because then you're taking on the President's National Cancer Advisory Board. You're talking about really powerful people. And major universities get funding. And my article showed it was all a sham. is all self-dealing. And this man went around a room, and everyone at the table said, no, we cannot publish. We'll lose $7 million in advertising, and we'll get sued. And so I said, but my facts are accurate. And if you get sued, truth is its own defense, and you'll win. And the publisher, with a very quiet voice, leaned over and he said, do you really think we can save some lives? I said, sir, we'll save a lot of lives. Someone has to open this door that has never been opened before. No one's ever gone at a national level against anyone in the cancer establishment. This was the first article of its kind. So he said, we're going to do it. All the whole room just went ballistic, yelling, and he did it. And that became one of the most, if not the single most read article of investigative journalism that entire year. It led to 2020. Judy Moses, executive producer of 2020, contacted me and I gave her all my files. She did it, won two Emmy Awards for my Dr. Stanislav Brzezinski segment. 60 Minutes, Don Hewlett called me, went down there, and he did a segment on my research on Lawrence Burton. So it opened the door. It opened the door to show how corrupt the whole industry was, that nobody believed was any corruption at all. And I did 58 cover stories on that whole topic. It was called medical genocide. And we never had to retract a single line. We were never sued. Our material was absolutely correct. I did all those articles for 26 years. Now, today, I've done about 14 articles on COVID. I've done 15 articles on 5G. I've done at least 61 articles on vaccines. You can find all of them on GaryNall.com. Look under articles, and especially look under the 8 latest articles where I go after the FDA, the World Health Organization, the CDC, Merck, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and I expose them. So here's my question. Do you think it's a legitimate question? Does it have an answer that is reasonable? Or are we stuck in the what I discussed yesterday? And by the way, let me give full credit for who created that concept, C.J. Hopkins, and published in Off Guardian. It's not my concept. Congratulations to them for coming up with the COVIDian cult title. It's a good description because that's what it is. And here's why. Everything is supposed to be about real science. Policy should come from science, legitimate science, not corporate science, which we know is utterly corrupt. And that's even Dr. Angel, who was at Harvard as professor after leaving the New England Journal of Medicine as their editor-in-chief for 20 years. She exposed this. Hundreds of books have exposed this. Hundreds of articles have exposed the corruption of science once it's been commodified and commercialized. But now, everything has been politicized and then weaponized. They lied about the statistics of how many people were dead. Everybody was getting a COVID death statement when it wasn't true. They lied about everybody being equally susceptible. Over 70% of all the original deaths came from nursing home, assisted living, and even hospice care, where you go to all those places to die, not to be healthy. And most of them were already past the normal lifespan, 80.3 years, average death. Then they gave us a test that was not an accurate antibody test, and therefore the PCR test was fraudulent because it was giving us all these false positives. And they did it at a very high cycle at about 45 cycles before they could actually see something. And then when they saw it, they couldn't say that it was different. This COVID-19 was different than a COVID before it or any of the other other COVIDs that are major causing of influenza, et cetera. It can't distinguish one or the other. Or you might have had a cold 10 years ago and you had that particle dead in your body, and if you got 45 cycles, it would show it, and then you would suddenly be positive. Completely fraudulent. Now that you're vaccinated, they're bringing down the post-vaccine PCR testing to 28. Well, 28, you're going to show that you're negative. So they manipulated to get high numbers, and now they're going to manipulate to get low numbers. See, the vaccine works. It's, you know, negative. It's all a game, and you're being played. That does not mean that the virus is not real. It is, and that it's killed people. It has. But it means it was never a pandemic or epidemic, and we could have dealt with it with the common drugs. but we haven't. Why haven't we? We have at least 14 drugs approved by the FDA, many in use for over 50 years, completely safe, that have all been shown to have varying degrees of success of stopping COVID in its tracks and frequently curing it, or at least stopping it from going to where you have to go to hospital. And even in hospital, many of these have a success rate better than anything prior to this. Before, it was stay in your house until you have to go to a hospital and get a ventilator and die. It was absurd. And that's because they wanted you to believe there was nothing else available. They lied about hydroxychloroquine not being effective. They lied and had to retract the two articles, even though they retracted the two articles showing hydroxychloroquine didn't work. And that was a lie, lie, lie. The New York Times and everyone else went ahead in their own manipulative way, the cult that they are leading, as if those weren't retractions never occurred. So now we're a full year. And according to C.J. Hopkins, quote, after the initial rollout of the utterly horrifying and completely fictional photos of people dropping dead in the streets, remember that? The projected 3.4% death rate and all the rest of the official propaganda, despite the absence of any actual scientific evidence of an apocalyptic plague and the abundance of evidence to the contrary, millions of people continue to behave like members of an enormous death cult, walking around in public with medical-looking masks, robotically repeating vacuous platitudes, torturing children, the elderly and disabled, demanding that everyone submit to being injected with dangerous experimental vaccines, and just generally acting delusional and psychotic. Well, that's true. Let me give you an example of that. Anthony Fauci has a very sordid history when it comes to being the leader of our war on AIDS. Many of the people dying, in fact, most of the people dying, were dying of a form of pneumonia, pneumocystis pneumonia, carinum pneumonia. There was a drug, Bactrim, which could have helped that, and he would not advocate it. It was estimated by Charles Ortlieb and others that upwards of, more or less, 80,000 people died from that disease who could have been saved. At the same time, at the Tri-State Healing Center, and before, I was working for 10 years before it was officially called HIV, I was working with Dr. Stevens, one of New York's leading gay physicians, with over 400, minimally, of his patients that he could not get well, and I got them all well. They all got their health back using a variety of natural therapies. So when AIDS was officially announced and people started to pour in, I had protocols in place. I had a team of 22 individuals, board-certified physicians, and Dr. Elmira Goodall, the holistic nurse who examined everyone, because, needless to say, local focal infections in the mouth can end up causing a problem. And everybody got individualized treatments, but I created all the protocols. Over a period of time, an average of 16 months, I was able to reverse every single opportunistic infection and take them from HIV positive to negative. Now, this was all proven with complete blood workups from Roche labs, meetings with all the staff, with the patients. And then after we had proven all this, then Tony Brown, another journalist, a multi-Emmy award-winning producer, Bill McCreary, they all came in. The publisher of the largest African-American newspaper, Bill Tatum, came. They all came. Doug Henderson, outstanding lawyer and a journalist, came. They all came and spent months investigating this, interviewing the patients with their permission, seeing the patient records, and looking at all the blood profiles. And they all determined, yeah, this is real. This happened. So I was on all those shows over a period of years with patients who had been near death's door, who today were totally healthy. 1,200 people did not take the advanced protocol, but were still all reversed their AIDS symptoms. They were still HIV positive, but it was AIDS symptoms, but they were otherwise living completely normal lives. Not one person died, not one of 1,200 people. We did held press conferences. We did everything possible, and yet nobody would come. No journalist, no gay activist would come. No one from the AIDS organizations and foundations come. No one from the New York Times. There 7,000 media were invited. Nobody ever stepped foot there, and yet we invited them to press conferences all day. I brought people from all over the world in who were doing great work using natural therapies, from China, from Japan. They came. And I have videos of all that. Not a single member of the media covered it. 3 days sold out. No, it didn't sell. It was free. But 3 days, every single seat, even the aisles, were packed, the Apollo Theater, for non-entertainment event. That had never happened in Apollo's history. Not a single mention in the media. So you see, I'm used to dealing with the idea of cults, where individuals, some highly educated, some believing that they're really smart, and indeed could be very smart, who believe that there's only one truth, and that's their truth, and only one lesson to learn, and that's the lesson they've already learned, and therefore there's nothing to see, nothing to hear. Do not talk to me. Do not show me evidence. I will not be moved by the truth except my own truth. That mindset, that's cult. Now, there was a book in 1995. It was called Cults in Our Midst. And in it, Margaret Singer's Six Conditions of Mind Control. Do these sound familiar with you concerning Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, the head of the CDC, the advisors from the head of the FDA when it comes, or the World Health Organization, when it comes to anything on COVID? One, keep the person unaware of what's going on and how she or he is being changed a step at a time. Potential new members are led step by step through a behavioral change program without being aware of the final agenda or full content of the group, and meaning control. Two, control the person's social and physical environment, especially control the person's time, so it becomes a new normal. Social, physical environment. Yeah. Step three, systematically create a sense of powerlessness in the person. What kind of person could feel more powerless than an obedient new normal sitting at home, obsessively logging the COVID death count, sharing photos of his medical-looking mask and post-vaccination bandage on Facebook as he awaits for permission from the authorities to go outside, visit his family, kiss his lover, or shake hands with a colleague? Four, manipulate a system of rewards, punishments, and experiences in such a way as to inhibit behavior that reflects a person's formal social identity. The point here is the transformation of a formerly basically rational person into an entirely different cult-approved person. That is the new normal within medicine, but that isn't working because you have tens of thousands, if not now hundreds of thousands, of scientists and doctors saying, no, your message is not science. It is propaganda. Five, manipulate a system of rewards, yes. And then six, and the final one, which is very, very important, put forth a closed system of logic and an authoritarian structure that permits no feedback. There's your banning of everything on Facebook and Twitter and Google, and refuse to modify except by leadership approval or executive order. Allow no one outside. Hence, what you've got is a top-down pyramid structure. And that's what we have. Just something to think about. What are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. We're going to take a quick break. Stay right with us. Come back. Your turn to talk back. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. Just a quick note. I didn't give but about 30 seconds to mention on yesterday's program that we've been out of one of the five most popular products that I create. It's called Heavenly Aloe. I went down to the Dominican Republic with my brothers and some friends to see how aloe is actually grown. I was appalled. So I sought how to grow organically certified and kosher approved aloe in the United States using the whole leaf. And this contains 100% of the aloe vera juice concentrate, and it's got all the right ingredients. But I also looked at the scientific literature. You can see a film of everything about how I grow my aloe. That's how transparent this is. You can actually go to GaryNall.com and you can see under the products, you can see the aloe vera film. It's about 12 minutes long. And that's, you see the fields that it's grown in, how it's hand cut, how it goes right into a plant right there at the 1,200 acre farm, aloe farm, the highest quality. It is a barbadensis leaf. That is the finest of the finest. There are lots of different aloe leaves. This is the best of the best. This is the Rolls Royce. But then I don't just allow that by itself. And it takes 5 days to sit in quarantine to make sure that it's pure. And then it's handcrafted, black cherry, raspberry, Bing cherry, Siberian ginseng extract, go to kola, G-O-T-U-K-O-L-A, wild yam root, ginger root, peppermint leaf. It's all in there. It's delicious tasting, certified organic grown. It's kosher. That is my aloe vera. We've been out of it because it was just difficult to get enough. We finally did. So it's back in stock. So if you'd like to get your aloe vera, one of the best products I have, just give a call and you can go down and pick it up. Call this number, 877. It'll be shipped right out to you, I should say. 877-627-5065. Again, we also have nitric cell stuff, which we're out of, back in stock. A lot of raw ingredients are hard to get, by the way, today. A lot. 877-627-5065. Or call Neil, 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And you wouldn't believe they increased my cost of my vitamin C by almost 300%. So I'm trying, and thank goodness I ordered enough when the shortages started. But I've come up with a new idea. It's really fun. Hopefully I'll be able to announce in about 2 months. But good stuff is happening in spite of the challenges. But now the good stuff is we've got your heavenly aloe back in. We've got the nitric cell stuff back in. It's back in. Call 877-627-5065. Now, rather than me telling you about people's experience who just were at the retreat in the anti-aging study group, why don't we hear from some of them, unrehearsed, uncoached, in their own words, on the final day there, just picking up a telephone and telling what they had to say. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Kimberly. I got so sick 10 years ago. I woke up and I could not walk. I changed my life because I was working with a naturopathic doctor. She is no longer with us. But time goes by. I maintain the diet and lifestyle. But then I met Gary. I picked up his book one day randomly, and I found his radio show. This man is unbelievable. I wake up from the villa every morning, and I'm greeted by the peacocks. Such a beautiful place. I feel like I'm back in Europe. I came here a week ago, and I was feeling so sluggish and fatigued and drained, and now I'm actually getting my energy back. I'm eating less. I'm eating better because I did fall off the wagon due to COVID. COVID set me back in a fear-based mentality for the past year, a little over a year, and now I'm not afraid. I'm ready to go forward and make changes in my life and continue this plan. I'm committing for the full month, and so I can't wait to see how it turns out because I know I can only get better and not go backwards. I do have MS, and it was pretty amazing how diet, and my doctor, first of all, Western medicine, they said go to chemotherapy. I had 4 bouts of chemotherapy. Never could figure out why I had to go through chemo. They destroyed my immune system even more when it should have been lifted up, not destroyed. No reason for it. But again, finding, you know, books and Gary, my naturopath, and then Gary, there's no other person like Gary, and his lectures are so phenomenal. I've learned more here than I have anywhere else. Gary is the guy I always turn to, whether it be the radio show or picking up one of his books. He's part of my life now, every day, whether he knows it or not, every day. I'm committed. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dave. I've been at the anti-aging seminar workshop for 4 weeks now. I stayed an extra 2 weeks at Gary's request, and I'm glad I did. All my family was against me coming down here, that it would be a waste of money and my time, and why can't I change on my own, you know? Well, I knew that I was not disciplined enough that if I didn't have a good support system and the study made the structure that I would have to follow, not only here, but for another month after this. And I plan on keeping up with this until I get down to the weight I want to be, which will be about 170 pounds. When I got here, I think I weighed about 8 pounds. It may have looked like 280 pounds to me, but anyway, I've reduced my beer belly considerably, and I'm really looking forward to keeping on with the working out. I was a member of Planet Fitness, and my wife said, why do you keep paying $10 a month when you never go? But I would go a couple times, but I'm planning to go there 3 days a week at least and really work on my training.
Hi, my name is Sakai. My chronological years are 61. I've been here, this is now coming to the end of 2 weeks, but my real age is probably like zero years because I'm learning that most of us spend our time living a program, what we were programmed, and we don't know who we really are. And I feel like that's what I have learned, that I've been living my whole life, all these decades, following somebody else's script. So I'm so excited to be beginning my new life, baby steps toward my real life, because we listen to lectures and videos here at the Gary Null Retreat, and we learn and to really analyze by answering questions what's really true. So the biggest thing for me is learning to differentiate from what is truth and what isn't. And I thought I came here with the truth, but I found out I have to go deeper, deeper, deeper. My body feels better. I sent a picture home to my goddaughter and my sister, and showing the delicious food we had. And I was surprised they commented about your skin. What did you do to your skin? Your skin looks so good, looks so beautiful. And I wasn't even concentrating on my skin. I hadn't even noticed. So I was surprised. Of course, that felt good. And then also they commented about my shoulders. So we work out in the gym, and I'm doing exercises that are making me stronger. I'm journaling and enjoying this beautiful environment. I'm so glad I came. I feel like it's a real big marker for me that the next decades that I have, they'll be longer. They'll have a more quality of life because I'll be living my life for the first time.
Just to give you an idea, that woman on Friday you just heard, that was 2 weeks before. I asked her to stay an additional 2 weeks, and she did. And during that two-week period, 100% of the pain that she'd had for 20 years in her neck and back, gone, completely gone. And the rest of the pain in her body, which was unbearable when she came. And again, I don't know what's wrong with people before they come. I'm there to diagnose or treat. I'm there to promote health. But it was not manageable. When she left, she said, now my pain is reduced overall in my body so much I can manage it. An enormous improvement, enormous. Never thought it was possible. You didn't also hear it. We didn't have a chance to tell you the guy who came and who I had to physically stop him. He was going to go for a marathon. And by the way, Pat did a marathon, 26 miles. The woman with multiple sclerosis that you heard about, Kimberly, at the very beginning, she could do a mile with effort and not imbalance because of multiple sclerosis. She was up there going somewhere around, I think it was 15 miles, more or less, and a good pace and complete balance. I mean, the transformations were remarkable. What we're going to do now is I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm not going to do an anti-aging. I've done my 4 anti-aging studies. That's all I'm going to do for now and write them up. But in the last 2 weeks of September, I'm going to do something radically different. I'm going to do a health support group where the first 2 weeks are done down in Texas, and then a three-month follow-up at home every week, and to see if we can't reverse depression and anxiety. Those two conditions, depression and anxiety, is all health supports, whether it's high blood pressure or ADD and ADHD. I've done 45 of them, but I've never done one where the first 2 weeks where I can really have a controlled environment where I can help a person cleanse, detoxify, and rebuild their body, rejuvenated, especially dealing with depression and anxiety, because all these people are also a part of an anti-depression and anxiety study. All of them turn in their diaries and all their reports. We had three different measurements, not just the Hamilton scale. 97% reversal of depression and anxiety in that group who were there. Wow. Now I want to do it by itself so it's not conflating with anti-aging. Anyhow, if you want to come, we're always full, but those who get in now can get in. Call Luann at 903-881-7008. This is 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of September, in 4 months. Call 903-881-7008. In September, there'll be roses everywhere, flowers galore, aromas unimaginable, swimming, water aerobics with John Q, wonderful meals, had some outstanding gourmet vegan meals every single day, juicing your heart out, but a lot of work on depression and anxiety, all right, because a lot of people are suffering from it now more than ever, and all the people who came, almost 100% success. And where do you ever get 100% success? And that's not me saying it. That's in their journals, and that's in their studies that they actually did when they left, when they came and then when they left. So, wow, if I could do that in a month, I could do the same thing in 2 weeks and then follow it up for another 2.5 months. So it would be a three-month study, the rest of it done at home. So if you want to join me, call Luann. I'm sorry for the 800 people who waited too late, because that's how many calls she got at near the end, people wanting in, and we had no room. I'm sorry. So I'm letting you know now, 903-881-7008. Have a nice day, everyone.